We are continuing on with Lights of the World, but we're going to make this kind of a vision month. We're doing a month of vision. And so because Linda has some things to share and others have some things to share, Jeannie will have some things to share. Today, I just want to talk a little bit about the word insight. Insight is the name of the message today. And as some of you may know, at one time I was given a prophetic word, and there was this prophet, Bobby Connor, and he was going down the row, and he was giving these long words of all these amazing things. And when he got to me, he put his hand on me. He took a deep breath, and I'm waiting for this magnificent word. You're going to go to the nations. You're going to do all these things. He took a deep breath, and he said, insight. And he went on to the next person. And I was like, are you kidding me? Insight? That's what I get? They get like your, you know, the gift of God to the nations, and I get your insight. And I'm sitting there, I feel cheated by this. You know what I'm saying? And my Jeannie, she's like a prophetic magnet. Anytime you go to a meeting with her, prophetic words come to her. And me, they're just kind of like in that lump next to you. Well, I don't know. So there is just this amazing thing. And so I sat there, and it bothered me so much, I thought about it for days and days and days, right? And then it became bigger and bigger and bigger. It's amazing the power that one word can have. See, some people like to say, by their many words, there's importance to it. I think sometimes the fewer the words, the more important each word is. And so I want to say this, that I am so blessed to have that word. It is still working in me today. I have forgotten dozens of prophecies that have happened in the past, but that prophecy, I remember. Because it's in sight. It's inward vision. Insight. It's insight not only to yourself, but into other situations. It's having sight into things. Insight. And one of the words for this church this year is going to be insight. It's given to me. You got to adopt it. I'm sorry. It's the way it is. And insight into your own life. Why do you do the things you do? Why are you the way that you are? What makes you tick? Why do you keep falling into temptation? What are the motivations? Learning to inwardly see what's happening in your life. The other word the Lord gave me was, he's turning up the power. For 2019, he's turning up the power. What does he mean by this? You know how you have a lamp in Lights of the World? You know how you have a lamp and you give it more wick? And it burns brighter. He's turning up the wick. He is starting to use us to shine brighter and brighter into this world. This is going to be a year that is going to be more powerful, more amazing in God than ever before. Get ready. 2019 is not your average year. There will be challenges. There will be calamities. There will be things that take place. But through it all, God is turning up the power in our lives. Why? Why? Because he wants you to be known? Because he wants you to be a superstar? No, because he cares for those that are lost. And he has gotten us in a place where he can trust us with a little bit more wick. He can trust us with a little bit more of that wick. He can't give us the whole amount right now because it's like giving a kid a gun. You know, you can't do that, right? You cannot give too much power to someone if they don't know what to do with it. And what do I mean power? What do I mean by power? Do I mean like you're going to go around and, you know, casting mountains? We talked about this. Casting mountains in the sea? No. What I'm talking about power is the ability to see things and to act and to see God move in powerful ways. We are here to present God to people. God does the work. Amen? And he does it through us, that's true, and he uses us to do those things, but God is turning up the power in 2019, and he is looking for people who are surrendered to him and are obedient to do his will. He's going to ask us to do things like walk up to strangers and give them a message from time to time. And that message may be simple. It may be Jesus loves you. It may be, do you know that God loves you? It could be something complicated or something very simple, but it's going to be the ability for us to breach through our comfort zone and to be the lights that we're called to be. You know, if you take a light, and you stick it under a basket, there's no light going anywhere. And a lot of times we're stuffing our lights under a basket. And God wants us to get our lights out. So some of the things, my glasses did not make it here. What did you do, Jeannie? Well, I was just getting my case out. I figured I left them in my case. Oh, here my glasses are. Does your light need to be brighter? So the questions asked about this teaching was, does your light need to be brighter? Mine does. Mine needs to be brighter. Do you feel like at times you don't know what to do or say? God, yes. Counsel for a while. Do you know the ways of God, or do you only know the acts of God? So we're going to talk about knowing God's ways. We're going to talk about, are you aligned with God's heart, or are you just aligned with your desires? And then the last one is, what does a true fast look like? When we talk about fasting today, your favorite subject is going to happen today. The number one most requested subject of fasting is going to happen today. So, every year, Firepoint does a 21-day fast. We start this year on January 5th at sunset. That's next Saturday at sunset. And we go the 26th at sunset. Now, everyone fasts different. Dear Lord, we all can't do water fast or things like that. So different people will do different things. But during this 21 days, we're going to focus on insight. We're going to focus on knowing ourselves better. Fasting is not about changing God. Fasting is about changing ourselves, coming in alignment with God. Amen? One of the verses I've loved that have spoken to me so much is this one. And it says in Psalms 103:7, it says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. To Moses, who had come close to him, to Moses, who spent with him, he taught him his ways. But to the children of Israel, they only saw his acts. So Moses understood why God was like what he was like. And the children of Israel only knew obedience, and he does really amazing things. And see, there's a difference to knowing someone and just seeing what they do. Seeing what someone does may give you a little bit of insight into who they are, but knowing why they do it, why they say they do it, may increase your understanding beyond anything that you would get from just observation. And so Israel was observing God acting on their behalf, but Moses spent time with God and he knew why God was acting on their behalf. He understood the plan. It's like being on a football team, and you get in the huddle, and there's a call out there, and some left, right, too long, you know, and you're like, and then you go back, and if you don't know what that call is, right, you're just like, okay, I know that I'm an end. I know I'm supposed to catch the ball. I'm going to run. But you see, quarterbacks throw to a specific spot on the field. They expect their receivers to be in that spot. So if you just run down the field, you might not be where that ball comes. You understand? You that are not football fans, I understand. But it's important to understand that there is a plan that's happening. You see? But if you go on there and the quarterback makes that call and you understand what that call is, then you know what spot on the field to be on. That is understanding the ways of how the game's played versus just going out and saying, hey, I know I catch a ball. I know he throws a ball. I know I catch a ball. I know where the touchdown line is. That's a very narrow, low view of what's happening. But when you can get to your spot before any defender can get there, then you can catch the ball and make that touchdown. If you're just out there and it's a Hail Mary, good luck, right? So that's kind of what we do. Sometimes we just play the Hail Mary game with God. It's like, I know basically you want me to go there and preach the word. But see, that's just so random, right? It's like, I'm just going to go find a stranger and grab their arm and tell them that Jesus loves them. What God wants you to do is be led by his Spirit. He wants you to have insight. He wants you to have a special knowing that the rest of the people don't, so that you'll know where that football is coming down, so you'll know where that blessing's going to hit, so that you can be there at that time and help others be there as well. Amen? That is the goal of what we're talking about when we talk about knowing his ways. That word in the Hebrew ways is derech. And derech is an interesting word. It means to tread upon. It means to take possession of. ways, take possession. Yeah, it means like putting your foot somewhere and possessing it. It means to possess. It means to tread. It also means to journey. To journey with. And so God had this amazing guy. And we don't talk about him a lot because there's not a whole lot said about him in the Bible. But this particular person has had a way of walking with God that was so amazing. And his name was Enoch. And in Genesis 5:24, this is what it says. This is the story of Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You see, Enoch knew the ways of God, and he walked to that place where the football fell, and that was his last day on earth. He's in eternity with God. Wow. Now listen, this is very important, because this is a very short little thing in the Old Testament, very short. He makes it into the great pantheon of faith believers that are in Hebrews 11, but here it's very, very important to understand that this was put in the Bible. A few words, remember what I told you, that have a great meaning. The Bible says that Enoch walked with God. You see, he was in the inner circle. He walked with God. He did what God showed him. He was obedient to God, and God didn't want him on earth anymore. God wanted him closer. See, I want God to want me closer. But I'm still a little prickly. He's going to have to work on me for a while. But there is, he looked at Enoch and he said, Enoch's learned all his lessons. He's got this. He's walked with me. It's amazing. I think he lived 365 years. That's an interesting time to live, right? And then he walked with God and he was not, because God took him. That's a very important thing. That means that each one of us in this room have the capability to walk with God in that same manner. Matter of fact, even more so, because we have the promise. We have the promise that Enoch didn't have. Enoch was in a fallen world, in fallen flesh, with the sins of his fathers, and yet he walked with God. We have been redeemed by that through the blood of Jesus Christ. We no longer have that, even the limitations that Enoch had. But we have to learn God's ways. It's interesting because God says it this way here in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, Derek, your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than their soul, are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The ways of God are impossible for natural man, natural person, to comprehend and understand. We have to learn to walk with him, and that requires faith. There's no other way to walk with God. You have to know when you're going through something and you know you're going through a time where God, where you need help from God, you need finance or something, all of a sudden you walk over there and God gives you an egg. And you're like, I need rent money. Take the egg. Okay, I take the egg. And then the egg becomes something that becomes something that becomes something, and you run in a circle. Pretty soon it turns out to be your rent. But you see, we don't know looking at the egg what's inside. We don't understand what God's up to. And so sometimes we're struggling in our moment, we're struggling in our day, and we're sitting there going, what is God up to? He gave me an egg, and I need something else. Take the egg. Trust God. Know that he's leading you to a point where your need is going to be met. But God, the only way you can please God, the only way you can please him is through faith. It's impossible to please him any other way. And so we got to take sometimes the eggs of life and we got to see where they lead. They might lead to scrambled eggs. They might lead to over easy eggs. They might lead to something totally different. Eggs produce chickens. One chicken produces many chickens. You never know where things are going to go. But sometimes when we get the egg, we just get frustrated. We just get upset. We get angry at God because, God, you're not hearing me. And God goes, no, I'm hearing you. You got to trust me. You have to trust me in this hour. You have to trust where I'm taking you. Because where I'm taking you is a journey. It's a derrick. It's a journey. It's a way. It's a way that you are going that the world does not understand. But I am giving you insight. That if you'll trust me and take that egg, it's going to get you what you need. I remember when I got stockings at Christmas, and my mom put nuts in there. I was like, I don't want nuts, I want toys. But eventually, down the road, within a day, I got hungry, and I wanted the nuts, you know what I'm saying? But at the time, I was like, come on, I want toys. Give me toys, you know?
He's still that way.
Give me toys, I still want toys. And God's like, no, you're getting a walnut. You just but you don't know where that walnut's going, because in that walnut is all the instructions, all the power to create a tree that will feed you forever. You see what I'm saying? God is into the long-term strategy. We're playing the short-term strategy of life. We're trying to get the short-term working. And God is always playing long-term. He's always playing the end game. He's always, when you play chess, how many of you have played chess? All right, you know that chess is basically broken up into three basic games, right? You got the beginning, you got the mid game, and you got the end game, right? And everything that you do in the beginning and the mid leads to what you're going to be doing at the end game. Your end game, if you don't understand the beginning or the middle part of the game, your end game is going to be really fast and you're not going to win. Because you got to know what the beginning of the game is doing, what you're doing in the beginning, and how you're setting up the mid game for the trades that you want to make to bring your pieces in position to create a checkmate. And you have to walk through, you have to be 10 steps ahead of the person that you're playing, or you're just going to have this random experience. And then, and you can't make a horse do that. They can't do that. Knights can't do that. What was that bishop? You know, you're going to have all these experiences. I had all those playing in college. I had all those experiences playing chess in college. And then I learned that you have to play the whole game, right? And so God wants you to play the whole game. He wants you to understand that he's playing for that last move. And everything that he's doing is leading you there. And you might go off into some dark areas. You might go off into some great challenges. But God has eventually got you for one reason. The end game. That's what he's setting up in your life right now. He's setting up that end game. That end game is eternity with him. That end game is your eternal reward in heaven. And there are struggles. And listen, you won't hear this in a lot of churches. There is suffering that occurs to get to the end game. Life is not easy, and growing old is not for sissies. Just saying. Just saying, in case you young people think it is. It ain't for sissies. Getting old has its challenges and its problems. But God is always moving us to one point, that we win the ultimate game of life. And we can only do it through his son, Jesus Christ. So in this time, God is going to work on us to give us insight where we are not in union with God. That's what fasting's all about. Fasting isn't about getting a result like people think. I'm going to fast until God does this. Fasting is getting you lined up so that God can give you the result that he wants.
Oh, that's good.
You see, I people are like, I'm fasting for a new building for the church. No, just fast to get closer to God. Let him worry about the building. You see what I'm saying? Because sometimes we're so worried about the results that we're not engaging with the process. We're so worried about the acts of God that we're not understanding the whys and the ways of God. And that's why it's so important to understand that God wants us to understand not just what he does, but why he does it. Why doesn't God stop catastrophes on the earth? Why doesn't God help babies that have tumors? Why is the world the way it is? You see, if you don't know his ways and you only know his acts, then you're going to be just like the world is. You're going to be blaming him for things that he's not responsible for. He's not the one that created the fall. We did that. That's us. That's on us. Our bad. So God is helping us get to the end game that he wants us to be, but it requires us to have new enriched insight in this season to see what God wants to do in 2019. To do that, we have a yearly fast. This is kind of like a cleansing of our own personal lives. Fasting can be done in many different ways, and there's no particular way. I don't care what you fast, as long as it's meaningful to you. In other words, I know people that fast TV for 21 days, or they fast TV 2 days a week. I know people that fast one day each week. I know people that do Daniel fast the whole 21 days, where they don't eat any sweets, meats, or breads, or whatever. I know people that fast by just spending more time in prayer. Listen, you think that's a bad one? That's a good one. If you will dedicate yourself to more time being alone with God and less time doing other things, that's a great fast. You see what I'm saying? Well, I'm going to do a 21-day water fast. Who are you trying to prove something to? I mean, unless you're called to do that, why are you trying to prove something? We're not here to prove how valiant we are in our fasting. We're here to get insight from God so that we can remove the impediments of our life that are holding us back from understanding his ways. Because when we understand his ways, then we are no longer a servant, but we're part of the family. We understand what's happening, and we are going with it. So, so important that you understand this. I remember when I was fasting, I was all into like, I'm going to get God to do this. You're not getting God to do anything he doesn't want to do, because that's why he's God. He doesn't do anything he wants to do. He only does what he wants to do. He just wants you involved in the right place, the right frame of mind, or the right position of your heart. So there's this amazing chapter, Isaiah 58, 1 through 14. And I want you to hear, I'm going to read it out first, and we're going to go back through it a little bit. But I want you to hear these words. Go ahead and close your eyes unless you're reading with me, and just listen to what I'm saying. So starting in Isaiah 58, 1, it says this. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is such the fast that I have chosen, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow head down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? So God is challenging, but let's go on. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you will pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. And you shall raise up the foundations of the enemy of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Did you hear those words? God's not impressed that we humble ourselves. God's not impressed that you go without food or do it. God's saying, look it, stop treating each other poorly. Stop treating each other poorly. This is what I want in a fast. I want you to go out and take care of the needy. I want you to go out and take that money that you would have put in your mouth, I want you to put it in someone else's mouth. This is the fast that's pleasing to the Lord. So when you think about fasting for 21 days, it takes all different types and shapes and forms. You might fast one meal and then take that $10 you would have spent at McDonald's or whatever, or $5, whatever it is, and give it to someone on the street and say, you know what? Jesus loves you. Now you're doing things that God wants you to do. You're not doing something that's just something to improve yourself, to make yourself. I've heard people talk about how often they fast, how many days they fast, how tough the fast was. And all I think is, wow, that person's pretty great. I don't want to know how great that person is. I want to know how great God is. And I want the world around us to know how great God is. And that requires a different mindset when you're fasting. So it's not about what you fast. It's about how you fast. It's about the reasons why you're fasting. I'm not fasting this 21 days so that I can brag to you that I fasted. I'm fasting these 21 days so that I can know the ways of God, so that I can truly feel the compassion that drives these 10 things mentioned in this chapter. What drives, and let me go through those one more time with you, what drives the desire to loose the bonds of wickedness? What does it mean to loose the bonds of wickedness? You know what I'm saying? What does that look like? Does that look like, you know, buying the church a new building? No, not necessarily. What does it loose the bonds of wickedness means? It means to break off the oppression that people are under. And that can be from the enemy. It can even be from a person. But whatever it is, you help and encourage that person to realize that they're no longer a slave to the fear that was controlling them. That you break those bonds, that you break and loose the bonds of wickedness. You know, if you go to a prostitute and you tell her, you know what, God loves you not yesterday, not before you were a prostitute, God loves you today. He loves you today. You are valuable to him. You are important to him. That's worth more to God than you sitting in your room going, look, I've given up food for a whole 20 minutes. Look what I'm doing. God's not impressed with that. He's impressed that we understand his ways. And his ways, Jesus said, I have come to destroy the works of the enemy. I've come to crush the works of darkness. That's why Jesus was manifest. The Bible says he was manifest to destroy the works of darkness. To undo the straps of the yoke. What does that mean, to undo the straps of the yoke? What is tying someone to sin in their life? Sin is the ultimate yoke. What is tying that sin to them? What is it that makes them crave their temptation? And what can you do to unstrap that, to give them insight into what's happening in their life? You see, sometimes a simple word. Sometimes I've talked for hours counseling, and I'll say one thing, and that's all they need to hear. That's all they needed. All that rest was just for me. So I feel like I was a counselor. But when I gave them the one word that released them into their freedom, that was what released and broke the yoke over their life. The third thing, to let the oppressed go free. And you know what? There was a lot of oppression in Israel that was from the owners of businesses or plantation, you know, whatever, plantations or vineyards or fields, where they oppressed, they didn't pay people, you know, they promised them stuff, they didn't give it to them. You know, there was just a lot of oppression. It was all based upon greed. And so God is saying, look it, let the oppressed go free. Release them, let them go, break all those conditions off their life. You know, they're worthy of their labor, they're worthy of their pay, and give them what you promised to give them. The fourth one was to break every yoke. I love this one because I love that song, to break every chain. But our job is to help people break the yokes, the things that are weighing them down. And there's nothing more that weighs us down than continual chronic sinning. To share your bread with the hungry. You know, if you're not eating a meal, then help someone else eat a meal. You know what I'm saying? And there's lots of ways you can do that. I mean, going to the streets and finding someone that's in need is a great way. You may know someone in the church that's struggling financially. But you may find, you may know a neighbor, or you may know an organization that's feeding the poor somewhere else. All those are great ways, as you're fasting, to demonstrate and to activate that in your life. And what I mean is, you know, you might hear this organization is giving to the poor in Africa or giving to the poor in you know, wherever, India or China or wherever, and you give unto that organization and you know that people are getting fed. That's a great thing to do while you're fasting. Yeah. That's the heart, the way of God. Amen?
Amen.
Bring the homeless poor into your house. This is tough. This would be tough for some people, but there are people that have that gift that understand, and there's a time and a place, and there has to be boundaries and all sorts of barriers. Simply don't go out and say, hey, all you homeless, come into my house. But be wise, use wisdom. But there's a time, and we've done it, others have done it, where someone is in need, and you know it's the right time, and then you know to do that. To cover the naked, we don't have this so much in our country, unless for some strange reason, someone's streaking or something. They don't need their own clothes. Never mind. Anyway, we don't have a lot of naked people running around our town. But if there was, and there are other people in other countries that have a hard time, that's another way of giving. Not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Now, I looked this up in a lot of commentaries, and it basically said is you have to remember that each of us are made in the image of God. And so when he's saying hide yourself from your own flesh, he's saying don't deny your connection to other people around you, especially to your brothers and sisters in Israel. Understand that you are your brother's keeper and you have a responsibility to each and every one of them according to how God leads you. The need is far greater than all the resources you have, but I have learned this truth. You can't outgive God. Jesus even said, it says in Acts, I think, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so it is a blessing to give. Pour yourself out for the hungry. And I want to tell you, Dave and Kim are not here, but they have taken on that ministry with all their hearts. What a blessing they are. God bless them for helping to feed the hungry in our area. And we support that and we'll continue to support that. And then lastly, satisfy the desire of the afflicted. When people are afflicted, when people are hurting, find out what they need. Find out what they want and see what you can do to be a solution for that. You don't have to do it to every person, but be available. And I think that's part of the knowing the ways of God is understanding that you're not responsible for everything you see, but when you feel a tugging from Holy Spirit, then act on that tugging. A couple more things I'll say here. Jesus is, now remember the word derech means way. It means to tread. Remember what I said earlier? It means to journey. Well, Jesus is the way. And in John 14:6, it says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And what's interesting about this is the whole church in Acts 28:14, the whole church is called the way. They were called a sect of Judaism, the way. And the reason why they were called the way is because of what Jesus said to them. He said, I am the way. So they actually took on, rather than calling themselves Christians, they called themselves, we are the way. And when that, and they weren't saying that individually. We were like, we're part of the way. We're going the way. And so Jesus, so the whole church was called the way. And sometimes you'll see even this, there's the Bible, the way Bible. It comes from that expression and from that scripture. And then there's also, by the way, there's a cult out there called the Way International. Don't go there. But it's important to know that the way, this word derech, was very important in the way Israel viewed God and viewed their relationship with God. Start the journey that God has for you today and allow this fast to be a time. And don't try to fast for your own personal benefit, but fast in a way that lets you be released in the 10 ways that I mentioned here today. I think it's so, so important for you to understand that God is moving in these ways. And this is the way of God. is helping those who are in need, breaking the yokes, feeding the poor, clothing the naked. This is what God wants. Amen? Jeannie was going to share a few things, but that's what I had to share.
I just want to share a scripture.
You might want to get a mic.
I just wanted to share a scripture.
Please.
David and I, Debbie and I actually, yeah, David and I also, but Debbie and I were sharing about just the heart of God in this season. It's so good to see you, Davida, Damara, hi. Okay, so, you know, there's a unction and a stirring in the spirit. You know, as a prophet, I have prophesied over thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But I am telling you, nothing is going to happen unless there's a change in the heart of people that comes through fasting and prayer. Here in America, there's not going to be any shortcuts for us as well. We have our brothers and sisters laying down their lives as martyrs. Fasting and prayer is an everyday, every month lifestyle. Jesus didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast. We're waiting for a stirring from Holy Spirit and some kind of mandate from the pulpit, but really God is calling us to a life of devotion and consecration, and I'm stirred in my spirit that nothing is going to happen unless it's birthed in intercession. And I'm not talking about a nice little friendly prayer meeting. I love our Wednesday night prayer meetings, but I want to encourage us to even go to another level. So many times we're spectators and we're watching other people carry the load and burn for God. God wants us to stir ourselves up in this time and season. We are entering into perilous waters. Now for us, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to see miracles as never before. The Walmart parking lot miracles and blind eyes opening and amazing conversions to Christ everywhere we go. So for us, it's going to be brighter and brighter, but the world, not so much. We are that light. But for us to burn and go to a place of consecrated fire, we have to embrace the flame. FirePoint is not just a really snappy, cute branding. It is something where we have to learn to burn and have a lifestyle of consecrated, continual burning. And so I appreciate so much the time of grace that we've walked in, and we will continue to. So we don't want to put anything on you that Holy Spirit is not already speaking to you about. But if you'll go to your heart of hearts, you will know that we are longing for more. We are longing for more. There's got to be more. That's why when we see people that are walking in that holy fire, we weep in their presence. We run after the Heidi Bakers and the people that burn for God and have had that life experience of sacrifice. And so I want to encourage you. I know David and I are challenged. We're so happy. We love y'all. We have a great life. We have a great life. We don't have a good life. We have a great life. But I feel like if we're going to fulfill everything God wants us to fulfill in our years ahead, because we get those ARP magazines and stuff like that. I'm like, why are they sending me that? Like, why am I getting this? And why are people calling me ma'am, you know? And then I look at the calendar and I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. So, you know, if we want to fulfill everything God wants us to fulfill, we're going to have to do some dying, really. And for me, it's fasting. For me, it's prayer. I just wanted to share with you this scripture that most of you know. And it's just really where I feel a stirring, and you know, but I heard a trumpet this morning, and so this, it's funny, this kind of goes in with this, but it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. Most of you know this, Joel 2:15. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast, call for a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and the nursing babes. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare your people, O God. and do not give your heritage up for reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? You know, there's a cry that I have in my heart, and it's, you know, the Bible says in Romans 8, it says, it talks about that Holy Spirit groans within us with words that cannot be uttered in articulate speech. There's a groaning in the heart of God, and there's a groaning in my heart, and there's a groaning that God is stirring where we begin to learn to just travail again with God. And I'm just going to throw this out there because there really has to be a grace for it. You can't force it. But there is a place where even there's some of us that have talked about maybe having a place where the wailing women can come, or men that know how to just travail and weep in the spirit to just birth the things God. And it's not a pretty thing. Many of you don't know what I'm talking about, but there are places and times where the Spirit of God will come upon people, a group of people or a single person, and they'll begin to groan, and it sounds just like a woman giving birth. And this is not necessarily a Sunday morning message, but it's something where some of us people that have walked in the way for decades have been in those camps where we've seen such power released, but it came through the travail and the weeping. You know, why was it that we could go into a congregation, we could walk into a meeting, and the glory cloud would fill like a brilliant glowing light the entire room, and people could do nothing but fall on their face and weep? And so there's a move of the Spirit of God where he wants to birth in us again those that have that grace gift, and it is a grace. It's not something you can force on people, otherwise it's just the flesh. But where there's a travailing, there's a birthing, there's a groaning, there's a weeping. And I don't know the full expression of that or where we would have that. There's some of us that have talked about having those meetings where those that have that grace gift and that stirring could just come and cry out to God. This is a different kind of prayer. There's different kinds of prayers. You know, I'll prophesy and proclaim. I'm a proclaimer. I'll stand on mountaintops and nations and have done it several times and proclaim the word of the Lord. That's powerful. But there's also times where we pray by intercession, by giving of thanks, by agreeing in prayer, where two or three agree is touching anything. They'll ask, it'll be done by my Father in heaven. So there's different expressions of prayer. But there's also this thing that is very uncomfortable and uncomely because it actually looks like women giving birth. And I'm not saying that's going to happen on a Sunday morning. I'm saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. But there are a cloister of us that are longing for that and want to see that, not because that God's not doing and hasn't done everything he wanted to do up to this point. But I feel like that there's something where God's calling us into a deeper realm of intercession. Do any of you know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you kind of have a understanding. And that's okay, because I know there's different times and seasons for everything. But it says, let the priest weep between the altar and the porch. And so there's this thing where you enter into the suffering of the Lord. There's this thing where Jesus, the Bible says, ever makes intercession for us. And it's where you take on the burden of the Lord and you become the living expression of what he carried on the cross, but you birth it in intercession. And so I wanted to encourage you in that. I think that as I release this as a testimony of what God's doing and stirring in my heart, and I'm not there yet, but I'm going there and I'm consecrated to it, that maybe there'll be a stirring in your heart. Read some of the old books, some of the books by, throw out some of the names, Eastman and Watchman Nee and Eastman and some of the others. I just read a book about a student that came over from Africa in the late 1800s who would just pray and travail, and he'd walk into a room and it would change the whole atmosphere. A little 15-year-old slave boy who escaped. Reese Howell, some of these pioneers of faith who knew how to travail. The Azusa Street Revival was birthed because William Seymour, who could, you know, a one-eyed blind African-American could see more than most, you know, affluent Caucasian people in his time. But he'd sit with a box on his head and just weep before the Lord. Wesley's mother, who birthed like 19 evangelists, literally, back in the, I don't remember what year it was, but she'd go in the kitchen and she had all these kids around her and she'd put her apron over her head and just cry out to God and travail and pray. So I want to throw this out for you as a prophet, as a mama in this home, to begin to go deep in your heart and to ask God, okay, God, how can I live a life that burns for you? How can I go above and beyond what I've walked in this season? And there are times and seasons, but I feel like, especially in these next 21 days as we enter into this fast, that we begin to awaken and be the watchman on the wall. And when God calls us in the midnight season, when he calls us in the third watch, when he calls us in the night sessions, maybe we're those that say, Lord, I will pray. I will travail with you. Amen.
Amen. I have some things I printed out in the back. I just posted this morning on Facebook, our private page. If you're not part of that private page, please ask to be part of it. We allow everyone that wants to be part of it. I put Bill Bright's suggestions for how to fast and fasting techniques and stuff. It's very important that you fast safely. Even when I do water fast, I take vitamins. Because, you know, I want to make sure that I've had issues with the lack of vitamins in my body before in the past and very unusual symptoms. And so you just need to make sure you do it safely with wisdom. If there's any health conditions, please consult a physician. We don't want anyone to be hurt in fasting. If you're like a lineman and you're climbing telephone poles, please don't do water fasting. I mean, it kind of makes sense, but don't do it. Because I don't want you falling off a telephone pole. It's just, yeah. And make sure you do what you're led to do. Don't do something to say that you did it. Do something that you're led to do. But most importantly, do these 10 things. If you did nothing else but spent more time with God and gave and helped the poor, I think that would be an amazing fast. And you didn't give up, you know, one bite of food. That'd be great. Because that would still be an amazing fast. Fasting has a purpose. And the purpose is to surrender to God.
Come to Wednesday night.
And here's my grandbaby come telling me service is over. So we have Bill Bright back there. You can download it. I put the PDF on the Facebook, on the Firepoint Close Facebook page. Also, people were asking for the last series, Whispers from God, to be put into a like all together. So I did that, and there's some out there. I'll keep printing them as long as I see they're going away. When people have gotten all the ones they want, then I'll stop printing them. And then also, we have the notes from today. So those three things are on the info table. Please bow your heads with me, and let's pray to the Heavenly Father, who is so gracious and good to us. Heavenly Father, we pray as a congregation, Father, that Lord, first of all, Lord, that we would know and understand our dependence upon you. Father, we're asking that you give us insight into your ways, insight into who you are. This fast that we're entering into is not about proving something or doing something to make a point, but it's about knowing you and being family with one another and with you, Father. I pray that everyone would have the right heart in this and that we would do this together. And whatever the many forms are that bring glory to your name, Father, and bring us insight into our hearts that we might know your ways. If there's anyone here that has never received Jesus, if you've never asked him to be your Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Today is that moment, that hour, that time. If you're looking for some perfect moment, the perfect moment is now. You don't know what's going to happen. I just read in the newspaper, the other army online, on the news, that this lady, 26 years old, just suddenly got the swine flu and died. You don't know what's going to happen in life, and you don't want to wait until it's too late. So if you're here today, I want to tell you, it's a journey. It's the way, and it's the way to know God's heart. It's a journey that you start by simply accepting the gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You can't ever be worthy of it. All you can do is humble yourself and receive it through grace. If that's you today and you want to do that, you want to take that step, then I want you to say this prayer with me with all your heart. Say it with me and with all the rest of us. Join me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. I repent of my sins, all my wrong thoughts, all my wrong actions. And I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Help to show me your ways. Give me insight, wisdom, that I might know who you are. That you're not a religion. That you're not just some false hope. But you're the true and living God. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Amen. Now, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if you said that and you meant it, I'm going to ask right now that you raise your hand to show as an act of faith that you meant what you said. Now, it's just me, you, and Jesus. But when I count to three, raise them high. One, two, three. Go ahead and lift those hands up. One, two, three. You got three hands up. Go ahead and put your hands down. God bless you. Thank you for receiving Jesus. Thank you for doing that. Listen, we're going to call up our prayer team up here. I want you to come up. If you raise your hand, come up and receive prayer. Receive a blessing. And if not, I want to bless you guys and wish you a very blessed new year. Amen? Have a blessed 2019. It's going to be a year of insight. It's going to be a year where God turns the power up. Amen? It's time to be free of the things that have held us back and to go and do the things that God has called us to do. God bless you, and we'll see you next time.